We're happy for everyone's presence here this morning. We do have a few out, and usually because of sickness, so far as I know, but we're missing a few of our regular members, but we're happy to have all here that are here this morning. This morning we're going to look at the lesson titled, Why I Attend Every Assembly of the Saints. I'm going to give you some reasons. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 22, I have an admonition and a warning by the Hebrew writer that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I've had people say that means total abandonment of attending at all. That doesn't mean that. If we forsake one assembly, when you could have been here, you've forsaken the assembly. He didn't say all assemblies. He said forsaking the assembling. So when the saints assemble and one willingly chooses to do something else and not be here, you've forsaken the assembly. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 22, he said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works. How do we do that? He tells us, doesn't he? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So we're to draw near to God with a true heart, fully assured. We have the full assurance of God that those who are obedient to Him will be pleasing to Him. We're to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We're to be washed with pure water. And we're to hold fast that profession without wavering. Because He's faithful, that promise. He's promised blessings to those who do good. He's promised punishment to those who do evil. Just think about that. There's a twofold promise that God has made. See, forsaking is defined by fear as to abandon, to desert. So as I said before, if one chooses not to be at just one service when he could have been, you've abandoned that. You've deserted the saints. It means to leave behind and is used negatively according to Vine. Paul used the word forsaken over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, when he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. Demas went after the world. He had a love for the world rather than standing there and assisting Paul in his gospel efforts. But also, as we read, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, to hold fast. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So these two are opposites, aren't they? To forsake and to hold fast. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, 3, where he said, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or that we should drift away, slip away, or glide aside, is how some versions render that. He said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed in us by them that heard Him. See, this word assembling is defined as a complete collection, especially a Christian meeting for worship, assembling together according to Strong. Albert E. Barnes, in his comments on Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That is, for purposes of public worship. It probably means an act of assembling or a gathering together. The command then here is to meet together for the worship of God. And it is enjoined on Christians as an important duty to do. is implied also that there is blame or fault when this is neglected. What did the Hebrew writer say? Verse 26. He said, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains more sacrifice for sin." So to forsake the assembling is willful sin. It's willful sin. So my question is to you, why are you here today? Why are you here? Are you here for the right reason? We should be here to worship and glorify God. So what is your goal regarding attendance? When the church assembles for worship and Bible study, each and every time we open the door, what are you going to do? Will you be here? You know, the psalmist said that he was glad to go to the house of the Lord in Psalm chapter 122, verse 1. David said, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord." So are we glad? Do we worship God gladly? David was glad. He said, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." He said, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." In Psalm chapter 95, verse 1, the psalmist said there, he says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear him all the earth. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad." Psalm chapter 96, beginning at verse 9. The psalmist said there, he said, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all earth. Say among the heathen, let the Lord God reigneth. Let the world also shall be established, that it should not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." It will be judged. This will be part of our judgment on the last great day. Did you forsake the assembly? And think about it. David said he was glad. His heart had a thrill of pleasure at the summons to enter to the house of God to worship him. He gave was a man who lived in faith and fear of God. He's held up with high esteem in the Scriptures. But his sin with Bathsheba is shown too, isn't it? What that sin cost him. See, David long acknowledged the loving kindness of the Lord. And he could know that to solemnly worship the Lord in the court of his house was a fitting thing to do. David's joy is set forth in Scripture as an example of the right spirit that we are to have as we approach our Maker in worship. He had a spirit of gladness. The service which God requires of us and our service of our hearts is we're to have gladness. David said that he was glad. Are you glad or mad for being having to be here or because you're here? Does it fill you with joy to be here and to worship and to study the Bible when we gather together? See, David spoke of God as his strength, his strong rock, his defense, his Savior, his buckler, the horn of his salvation. God is that to all of us too, isn't he? Just like he was to David. So David, he had a sense of exceeding love for God. And if we have that sense, we will be glad. And we'll say also, let us go up into the house of the Lord like David did. So, this morning we're going to look at reasons why I attend. Strive to attend every assembly of the saints. And I'm not directing this at anyone who's sick, legitimately can't be here because of sickness or some circumstance beyond your control. most circumstances are within our control. I'll give you this example. If you know your car needs to be worked on and you just neglect to have it done and it breaks down on you while you're going to service, then partly your fault, isn't it, for not being here. But this lesson is addressed to those particularly who forsake the Lord descending for some reasons. First reason is that I must put first things first. Now, seeking God and His kingdom must be first place in our lives. Jesus said that. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus taught that His children are to put the kingdom or the church above food, drink, and clothing. Above all things physical. So if I put anything first in my life other than Jesus and His work, then I'm not putting Christ first. So what is first place in your life? What is first place in your life? Is it God, Christ, and the church? If not, what is it? If it isn't God, Christ, and the church, then you need to reevaluate your priorities. Next reason is that I want to show love and good works. You know, attendance demonstrates your concern for others. Notice what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. He said, "Let us consider one another to provoke or to stir up unto love and good works." So when we're here, when we're assembled to worship God, when we're assembled where the Bible is taught, prayers are offered, and God is worshipped in spirit and in truth, that's good, isn't it? That's good. That's good. And I'm reminded over in Luke chapter 9 of the case when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain to pray. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And we'll start beginning at verse 28. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. In Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. The text says there, beginning at verse 28, that it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a high mountain to pray. Notice why they were there. They were there to pray. And as he prayed, the fact of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white as glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were there with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awakened, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass that as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here." He says, "Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he says. So Peter didn't realize the magnitude of that statement. So he wanted to keep Moses and Elias there in Jesus. But Moses and Elias had served their purpose. Now the point I want you to see is, he said, "Master, it is good for us to be here." They were there to pray. They were there in the company of Moses and Elias, Peter, James, and John, and Christ. And they heard the Father from heaven magnify Christ. And Peter spoke of that over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice beginning at verse 16. Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory." They witnessed that. "And when there came such a voice to Him from heaven," from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased," He said, "and this voice which came from heaven, we heard." We heard it. "And we were with Him in the mount."
Peter said, Lord, or Master, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here.
I submit to you right now, it's good for you to be here. And so, if I do not attend the assembly and I do not partake of that which is good, then my actions are bad, aren't they? My actions are bad, the very opposite. James said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him it is sin. Next, I attend every service because I'll be made stronger by doing so. We are to be strong in the power of His might. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, when Paul was before the Ephesian elders, he said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, make you stronger, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. See, strength comes by believing the whole counsel of God. Paul said there in that same setting that he shunned not to declare to them all the counsel of God. He preached to them all the things they needed to know. And in verse 20 he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you from public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing what things shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall set my face or see my face no more. And then he said in verse 26, wherefore I take unto you this record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men wine. Pure as wine, because he had not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. They told the elders there, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which is purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day. When he was in Ephesus for 3 years, he warned. He taught the whole counsel of God. And then he said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance, all of them which are sanctified. So strength comes by... I'm ahead of myself. Strength comes by... by us doing what God said, by us being made stronger. I'm ahead of myself. By being made stronger. So we see where, let me get back to where, something like that here. Be made stronger. So Paul said, we're to be strong in the power of His might. You know, strength comes by believing. Strength comes by putting on the whole armor of God, doesn't it? Comes by putting on the whole armor of God. So we need to always do that so that we will be strong in the Lord's might. Next, notice that, let me go back, I'm going to go back a slide. We need to abound in the Lord's work. We need to abound in the Lord's work. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So a true Christian then wants to do all he can, doesn't he? He wants to do all that he can, not as little as he can. So my question is, do we abound in attending, or do we abound in forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Important thing. You know, to be steadfast. Remember, the Hebrew writer said we're to be firmly fixed. We're to be ones that are not tossed to and fro. We're to be ones who don't waver. We're not to be wavering. He said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." And Paul said that we're to abound, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, or being abundant in the Lord's word. So when one forsakes the assembling, then you can't abound, because we should want to abound in the Lord's word. Laboring in the Lord's kingdom is not in vain, is it? So do we abound in attending as we should? That reminds me of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, that he saw. He said, "Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, the earth, he said, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, and shall be dissolved. Heaven shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein there dwells righteousness." And he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, see that ye look for these things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So if I fail to attend every service possible, and I willfully forsake the assembly, am I without spot and blameless? Am I? I'm not, am I? Alright, so you need to understand, you know, and heed these things. I want to go over this one again, to be made stronger. Now, we had the slides out of order, but you know, we're to be strong in the power of God. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 32, he commended to them God and the word of his grace. He said, "It will build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." See, when we heed the whole counsel of God, when it's taught, it profits us. So we're strengthened by believing the whole counsel of God. We're strengthened by putting on the whole armor of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, he said there that we are to put on that whole armor of God. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." How do we do that? By putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, where you wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what lessons have we learned by the lessons and classes Brother Bob has been teaching us from Ezekiel? First of all, I learned that you have to be here. Don't you? You have to be here. So you can't be made stronger by not being here. So strength comes by heeding, being built up by God's Word, by study of it, by receiving teaching from the whole counsel of God, by putting on that spiritual armor, coupled with prayer. Because attendance makes one stronger, absence makes one weaker, doesn't it? So you want to be strong or weak? You want to be strong or weak? Next, attending every service sets a good example to others, doesn't it? Now, Christians are to be an example to the believers, or to be an example of the believers. Notice that statement Paul said. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers, not an unbeliever." Can we say we really believe God if we neglect to attend the assembly of the saints? So we're to be believers in word and conversation, or character, or manner of life, and charity, or love and spirit. Our spirits have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. In faith, our faith has to be strong. We have to have a faith and to be obedient to the faith. In purity, moral righteousness. Jesus taught that Christians are to let their light shine. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and give up light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Do we glorify the Father in heaven by our presence? Surely can't by your absence. Do we provoke our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we stir up and encourage them to remain faithful, to be here, to be working towards the day which is coming, the judgment day? Do we? Remember, we're to heed God's word. We're to not forsake that assembly. We're to, he said, which is what the manner of some was. You know, they lived in a very extreme time of persecution. We can't say that. Not to the level of persecution they endured. But are we considering one another? Well, Christians are to let their light shine. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received from God the Father and glory and honor, and there came such a voice from the excellent way, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him.'" Are we hearing Him? Do we hear Him? To acknowledge Him. And Peter went on to say, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy," in verse 19. "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed unto us as unto a light that shines in a dark place." So we live in a dark world, don't we? "As a light unto a light that shines from the dark places of the day dawn, and the day star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So what we find from the scriptures. What we find being urged by Peter and others and Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 came from divine inspiration, didn't it? The Christ's dark of both stir up their brethren to love and good works. Notice verse 24. He said, let us also consider one another provoked and the love and good works. We do that by being present. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So if you're absent from the assembly because you forsook it, your light is not shining, is it? It's not shining. Next, I attend every service because I want to help the church grow. Do you want to help the church grow? You know, for the church to grow, members must grow individually. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow up thereby. So as a baby desires the milk bottle, Christians should desire instruction and learning from God's word. To a baby, that milk bottle is all he wants. Clean diaper and a milk bottle. He desires it, doesn't he? That's what satisfies him. Peter also said, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. See, the church in the first century grew. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we see where the people had favor with all the people of God. They praised God. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In verse 47, there was 3,000 added, weren't there? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000. In Acts 4, it says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So it increased, it grew. See, the church grows, not necessarily by number, but in strength, when members put God first by loyally attending all worship service possible, don't they? Notice those in the first century. Those that gladly received the word and were baptized, what did they do? They were added to the Lord, about 3,000 souls. What did they do after that? And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were bound together. They worshiped together. They associated together. As a result, the church grew. The church won't grow in knowledge or number. And the person, especially who forsakes the assembly, won't grow individually. And they won't add to the growth of the church by doing that. Next, I want to, and I attend every assembly because I'll be safe in doing so. There's safety in obeying God, isn't there? Think about that. If we're here where God commanded us to be, we're in a safe place. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, this is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, he said, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So when I attend every assembly of the saints, I'm safe in that regard. I may have some other things to work on, but that part I have control of. But if I willfully forsake the assembly, will I be saved when Christ comes? Is the question.
Remember what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then he said in verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. It's a serious thing, isn't it? But in the future, we're going to have a lesson on entitled something like this, 30 things a person does not do when they forsake the assembly. It's a very serious thing. A lot of people don't take it so seriously, but it is. It's a very serious thing to forsake the assembly of the saints together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. Paul said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet of hope, salvation. For God hath not appointed us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That's what God wants for us. That's reserved for those who are not asleep, those who spiritually are not asleep at the switch. So to take the safe way, I urge you to commit to attend every assembly of the saints. Take the safe way. Finally, I attend every assembly because I must obey the Lord's command. Because the Lord, through the Hebrew writer, said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So to draw near to God with that full assurance of faith, or to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, or to hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, because God is faithful to that promise. He's promised obedience, or blessing to the obedient, and judgment to those who are disobedient. We must consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We do that by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. So in review, I attend every service, because if I do that, I put first things first. I want to show love and good works. I want to abound in the Lord's work. I'll be made stronger. It's such a good example to others. I want to help the church grow. I'll be safe in doing so. I must obey the Lord's commands. Why do you attend every service, or do you? The lesson is yours. Tonight we'll look at the lesson entitled Worship in the Assembly. There we have that word assembly again. So we need to be knowledgeable of why we do what we do. We're all familiar with what we do. We've done several things this morning in worship. We'll talk about those tonight.
That's to be in the assembly, isn't it? When all the saints are gathered together. Does anyone here this morning who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation? Remember that the alien sinner, one who has never obeyed the gospel, must hear the gospel, must believe it, repent, confess their faith in Christ, be baptized in the water of river baptism for the remission of sins. Erring children of God, those who have forsaken this assembly, especially regarding this lesson, need to repent and pray. Repent by ceasing to forsake the assembly. And pray, God, if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you, like Simon was told to do. And then we need to live faithfully into death. Always attend every service possible. Because Christ and God is faithful, that promise. Remember that. Well, that's just yours. If any way, accept the Lord's invitation, we urge that you come and make your wishes known as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Shall we stand while we sing?
Number 915.